It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 224. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I break down the heartbreaker against Gonzaga, and we preview the WCC tournament. We also discuss women's hoops, anti-Jimmer mania, and conference expansion. And I explain to you why I think fouling out in basketball is dumb and what we can do to change it. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, what's up?
It's Cougar time. It is time for Cougars.
In our, you know, funny story about that. So my wife and I are on vacation last week, and we're waiting to get a table at a restaurant that wasn't very good, actually, that the guy at the resort recommended. But anyway, that's a different story.
I hate it when that goes wrong.
I know, because you just kind of feel like, does he get, like, money or something? Are they slipping him a 20?
He's on the take. They're all on the take.
They're all on the take. So behind me is this guy in full BYU gear, okay? Hat, shirt. He may have even had BYU athletic shirts on.
So a total zoob.
A total zoob, as they say.
That's what they call them, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, idiots. Yes, that's what idiots call them.
Yes.
Shots fired already! I said, hey, go Cougs. And he's like, yeah. But he had one of those hats, like, I call it the early 2000s style, where it's got a huge logo and Cougars written on the side.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said, he's like, oh, thank goodness somebody actually said that. And I said, well, what do people usually say? And I was expecting, you know, if he was in Utah, get snide remarks from your fans. No, he said people have come up to him and asked him if he likes old women.
No.
Repeatedly.
Way.
He said.
No
yes.
Way.
Yes, because it says Cougars really big.
He's like, yeah, I'm into Cougars.
Yes, I do.
How old is this guy?
I'd say 40-ish, plus or minus.
Cougars aren't coming for you if you're 40.
You're passed your prime for Cougars?
I'm
getting more and more uncomfortable.
I think you're into a different bracket at that point.
Yeah. Well, Matt, so
I think you are a Cougar.
Have you watched any NBA basketball this year?
I have. Actually, I went to an NBA basketball game Saturday night.
That's right. So you missed on Saturday night because you were at the Rockets game. You missed
I think we have to call it the Spurs game. Let's just call a spade here. Anytime at an NBA game you're up by 30 at one point, I think it gets to be your game regardless of where it was played. Well, and real quick, before you use Spurs this as your segue,
are you we're destroying sitting in our my segue?
Seats. Yeah, I am, but you don't worry. Right. You can recover.
Okay.
So we sit down in our seats. We're there early. My son is singing, and then his school choir is going to sing the national anthem, right? So we get there kind of early. We're in our seats. There's a ton of San Antonio fans in Houston. Tons of San Antonio fans.
Right.
Okay. So we're sitting in our seats. We got the whole family. This guy comes down wearing a San Antonio Spurs jersey, and he is sitting right next to us. He comes and he sits down. Like, I can see him coming into the aisle, and he's going to sit right next to us. And he says something like, oh, he was trying to make sure he doesn't, like, that he's not sitting in our seats. He's sitting in his seats. And I look over. He's got a son about my son's age who's wearing a BYU shirt. And he's like, oh, can we sit here? Is what he asked. I'm like, you have the tickets. You don't need my permission to sit here. But he asked, can we sit here? And I said, the Cougar fan is allowed to sit on this row. The Spurs fan is going to have to find another place.
How did he like that?
He laughed. He thought that was pretty
funny. He laughed and then just took a seat.
And then I did make a comment to him later in the game about the comparative career arcs of Kawhi Leonard and Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, stop. Stop.
But,
you just hurt me.
That just kind of made me sad.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jimmer here in a minute.
Anyway, we had a good time. So I had to watch I watched the Gonzaga game late.
Okay.
I didn't watch it live.
Okay, well,
I'll just go ahead and admit that. I'm sorry, I went to see my son's choir.
Hey, stop. We're not talking about Gonzaga yet. We're talking about the NBA. You're killing my segue here. You're absolutely butchering my ability to segue.
Oh, I was trying to hand it back to you.
No, that's not handing it back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the NBA for a second. All right. Focus.
Sorry.
All right, so here we go. Saturday, after the Gonzaga game, So actually, maybe that was a good segue. I apologize. Did I just jump all over you and you did have a good segue?
Kind of par for the course.
Yeah, it's kind of par for the course. So, watching the Warriors and the Thunder. My new favorite thing to do, non-BYU sports related right now, is to watch Stephen Curry play basketball. Because he is out of his freaking mind. All right?
Yeah, he is.
So, I'm watching this game. It's a fabulous game. One of the best regular season NBA games I've ever seen. Back and forth, overtime, all that stuff, right? Stephen Curry with 46 points, including a game winner in overtime of like, you know, 36 feet or whatever it was.
Amazing shot.
Amazing shot. But he keeps hitting them that it becomes like you just kind of expect him. It's going to go in. You know, right. And Thompson had a big game with 32 points. And one of those glue games from Green who had, 2 points, but 14 rebounds, 14 assists, 6 steals, and 4 blocks for the Warriors. And then on the Thunder side, just Westbrook playing out of his mind, missing a lot of shots as usual, but still getting 26 points. But Durant was awesome. 37 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, 2 blocks. But here was my biggest problem, Matt. In the best game of the year, Durant fouls out early in overtime and is not on the floor for the end of the game. So guess what that makes it, Matt? Rant time by me.
Here we go.
The dumbest thing about basketball, one of the dumbest things about basketball, is the fact that we still stick to this rule that was invented, this foul out rule, invented when they're still shooting into peach baskets and you couldn't touch the other guy. Okay? That we still send the best player on a team to the bench for the end of the game, unlike any other sport that is played. All right? You send them to the bench for the end of this awesome game because some ref thought he fouled the guy. Now, I didn't watch the whole game, so I don't know if all 6 of his fouls were legit or not. But quite frankly, I don't care. I want Kevin Durant in the game at the end. And we have to figure out how to do this. And when I said it on Twitter, I get all these people, but that's the rules. So change them. Like, if we did that, we'd never change anything, right? We'd still be playing with no 3-point line and no shot clock.
Or no instant replay in baseball.
Or no instant replay.
Or humans still calling balls and strikes when a robot could do it.
Oh, wait a second. Right. They still do that.
But yeah. Robots could do it.
And better. Yes, I know. And instantly.
Yep.
It could show us. I know. The balls and strike
one. And you wouldn't get to sweep dirt on them.
Nope.
That would remove one of the funnest parts of baseball is when a manager comes out to yell at the home
plate umpire.
Starts to yell.
He could still do it about something else. A check swing call or.
But who's going to toss him if it's all robots?
No, you'll still have a human guy there to toss him. You know, just for the fun of it. So let's
there's
get
a guy
back
there just to toss him.
Yeah, just to throw people
That's
out.
His job.
That's his job. So do you think he's going to have a quick trigger? Absolutely. You're arguing with a robot, bud. You're chucked. But I stepped out of the dugout. Doesn't matter. You're out. And then you get the big rant, which would be awesome. So, Matt, back to the fouls thing. We need to come up with a solution for this. The same thing affected the Gonzaga game in a different way when Collinsworth gets into foul trouble in the first half and sits for 6 minutes, right? I don't want Kyle Collinsworth sitting for 6 minutes. The best players in the most important games should be on the court. It's the only sport that does this. The only one. And I've heard people say, well, they have the yellow card system in soccer. Okay. Number one, it's totally different. You have to get 2 yellow cards and a red or there's something big. And it carries over match to match. But I watch a lot of, like, big-time soccer, they never call the premier players for a red card or 2 yellows in the biggest matches. It's very rare.
Especially not at the end of a game.
Yes. There is always, almost every NBA overtime game you watch, somebody important has fouled out. Okay? So I've got a couple of solutions. You tell me which ones you like or you don't like and why. Okay?
Okay.
You up the limit to 6 fouls in college and 7 fouls in the pros.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I think it's terrible. It just moves the line. It doesn't help.
Right. And the whole limit on fouls has created this weird economy of fouls.
Yes.
That I believe is guilty of a lot of things about basketball that I don't like.
Yes.
One of which is players fouling out.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you. I agree with you. Okay. How about another one? They get, if they foul out, I like this one as a stop gag. I don't like it as an actual rule.
Wait a minute. Did you say stop gag?
Yeah, isn't that what it's the word?
No, I think it's stop gap.
Stop gap. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm lexistic. They get one more foul in everybody gets one more foul for overtime. So if you fouled out in regulation, you can come back in for overtime and you've got one more foul. Or everybody else would go to 6 or 7. So that way, because it's all based on time, right? And when people don't like this one, I say, well, why do they have 5 in the college and 6 in the pros? Because the pro game is longer, right? 48 versus 40. So if you extend the game, shouldn't people get one more foul? Like you get extra timeouts in overtime?
But if the players are better in the NBA, shouldn't they be able to play longer and foul less?
Well, that's you're missing my point entirely. But yes, they probably should be able to do that.
But well, I'm just driving home the point that the limit on fouls creates this weird, like, you're spending fouls.
Yes. Yes.
And that's part of the problem.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is part of the problem. So here are my big ideas, Matt. Okay? Because usually the pushback to what you said before is just eliminate fouls, right? Just no limits, right? The pushback to that is there will be constant fouling in a second half of games because if a team's behind and they'll be fouling the weakest free throw shooter. But that you can fix easily because that you just have to call by the books, which is both in college and pros. An intentional foul is a different kind of foul. You get a shot in the ball. But they don't call it that way.
But I believe that they should.
I totally agree with you. In both college and the pros, if you're not making a play on the ball, if you're grabbing the guy, well, actually, apparently you can do that at the end of regulation too.
You can go WWE at the end of regulation.
You can totally wrap a guy up
in the WCC.
In the WCC, you can do that. But here's a couple of unconventional ways you could go about it with still having quote unquote limits. Okay, once you get to 5 fouls, your 6th foul puts you in a quote unquote penalty box for 2 minutes. So there is a cost to that guy getting a foul, his 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th foul.
But and now your team plays a man down while you're in the box?
No. Not a penalty box like hockey. Just that person can't play for the next 2 minutes of game time.
Okay.
He has to go to the bench for a 2-minute break. Game time. 2-minute break. Okay? Or every time they foul after that, the other team gets a free throw shot and the ball back.
I like that one.
So that puts that player at a substantial disadvantage defensively and potentially offensively with offensive fouls. But certainly defensively, they have to be extremely careful because you certainly don't want to give up a bunch of free throws and give the ball back to that team. So do you like either of those proposals?
I like the second proposal, but I have a question. But that's all individual player specific, right?
Correct, not team specific.
So he gets to X number of fouls. He's going to sit and he's going into the penalty box for 2 minutes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you're kind of keeping the same rule, but you're adjusting it for the fact that you're not going to disqualify a player for it. You're just going
right.
to put on some
But I feel like in
penalty.
Overtime or at the end of a game, you basically that's what you're doing. If there's less than 2 minutes left in the game or 2 minutes and change, you're essentially removing that player from the
you
game
would.
Anyway.
Yes, you would. But they can come back.
Like right, but if there's less than two minutes, he's not coming back.
Yes. But in the Durant situation, he gets the foul at the beginning of overtime. He would have been back for the end of overtime. Right? But yes, if he does that foul with 2 minutes left in overtime, he's 2 minutes out. Yes, he would miss it.
I like the penalty box idea better if the team had to play a man down while he was in the box.
If you did it
like hockey or lacrosse or whatever, that could be really compelling because that's
going to
really
penalty.
Mess people up. That's really significant.
That's significant. Other thing is you play with no limit, but then you start penalizing the team once they get to a certain level as that like plus one in the ball back.
Yep.
Like,
and I think that's the answer. You know, and it's just like in football, right? You commit fouls, you know, or penalties. You're giving up yardage and eventually scoring opportunities, right?
Yes.
And that's what you do. And so you're the team as a collective. You know, one guy commits pass interference in the end zone, his whole team pays for that.
Yes.
So I think that kind of a model, I like that kind of a model. And this idea of a certain number of team fouls, then you're giving up a free throw and the ball. I think you're onto something there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would also eliminate at the end of games, in theory, if you did that one, the last one, it would also, eliminate the hack-a-shack, right? Because at some point,
the other team gets to decide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could do
it
that
way. You get to choose who the free throw shooter is.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Once you got to a certain level, they get to choose. If it's the 20th team foul, I don't know what the number is. I'd have to think that through. But it's whatever the team foul is. So call it the triple bonus you got in college. You got the bonus. You got the double bonus. Then you'd have at a certain level a triple bonus. And then it's plus one in the ball every foul. So I have to think through. There's probably situations where a team might not want the plus one, right? If a guy gets fouled shooting a three-pointer or something, right? But you could work around that. I just want to create
a shooting foul, I still think he gets his free throw shots.
And then you still get the ball back.
I think if you foul a guy shooting, he gets his free throw shots, his foul free throw shot, and the ball.
Wow. See, now that would be a massive deterrent from any of those strategies we just talked about.
Make them play real defense.
Well, and it also would stop, depending if they were in that triple, double, or whatever bonus we're calling it, it would also stop people from fouling a guy to stop them from taking a three.
Yep.
Right? Which they do sometimes. Because if you did that and it's plus one on the ball back, well, you'll never do that strategy. I just want something different. I just, when I'm watching the end of that game, and it was one of the best games, Matt, I've ever watched, and Kevin Durant's sitting watching it with me. Not literally, figuratively.
I mean, he's got much better seats than you.
Much better seat. But it's a shame that I don't ever want a NBA title, which it's happened in the past, people have fouled out, to ever be decided with somebody, one of the best players fouled out.
It seems stupid, right?
Yes, it seems stupid to me. So, all right, Matt, let's move over to our CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
And this is not old ladies in the news. Matt, first up, Jimmer came up, signed his 10-day contract. Kurt Rambis, whom apparently hates Jimmer, basically hasn't played him.
Kurt Rambis hates America.
This is totally predictable, isn't it?
Yes.
As soon as I heard Rambis say, well, management decided to do this, I'm like, oh, Jimmer's never going to play.
Was Rambis in a movie? Like one of the Naked Gun movies or something.
I don't know. I'm about to look that up.
I feel like he was in a movie.
Kurt Rambis.
Oh, he's got an IMDb profile.
He was in Forget Paris.
Oh, that is not the movie I was thinking of.
That's a producer, Kurt Rambis.
Oh, Kurt Rambis from Terre Haute, Indiana?
Yeah, that's not Kurt Rambis.
This is somebody else.
Yeah, that's totally somebody else. I don't believe he's been in a movie. I don't see him.
No, this IMDb profile is claiming it's the same guy.
No, it isn't. It just has a picture.
Oh, really? I don't have a picture on mine, but unless the guy who's the producer happens to be 6'8".
What are you talking about? The IMDb pages, they don't have his... What are you talking about? I'm looking at the same IMDb profile.
I don't have a photograph.
Oh, you're right. It does say 6'8".
Professional basketball player, paid for the NBA's blah, blah, blah,
he
blah,
blah. Also produced movies? Oh, look at that. Yes, he was in... He didn't just produce, he was in Forget Paris.
And Eddie, I don't even know what that is.
Eddie was...
Oh, that's a movie with Whoopi Goldberg, coaching basketball.
Yeah. You've seen it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's got...
Okay, well, there we go. So he was in some movies.
He was in some terrible movies, yes.
All right. Well, okay, there we go. I guess that's what I wanted to know.
He was in the TV show Arliss as well, playing himself.
Attaboy.
And he played Matt Pelton on Malcolm and Eddie, the TV series. Wow, this is quite a...
He's a prolific... He should go back to that.
Yes.
Anyway, it was kind of my point.
Better than coaching. Jimmer's not going to play for the Knicks. It'll be done soon, unfortunately.
Nope.
This is unfortunately coming to an end.
Now, isn't it... Now, I don't know. I feel like if... And it's easy for me to say this, right? Because I didn't have it. I was never in the running to play sports at the professional level.
What?
Not even close, right? But I feel like if you get to that level, the goal is get in, make as much money as you possibly can while you still can. So then the question becomes, you know, is this approach that Jimmer is taking allowing him to maximize this opportunity financially, or does he, you know, or is it time to go try and play in Europe or do something else? I feel like after you do this, I mean, it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. You know, maybe you wait and see if you get one more shot with somebody, but it's the NBA is a tough, tough league. It is tough. There's not a lot of spots, and there's a lot of people trying to get in. The competition is extremely fierce.
Well, and there's new guys every year. We've talked about that, and they come in with just as much hype as you had when you came in, right?
Yep.
And that's not entirely true because, you know, Jimmer was kind of one of a kind in some ways, right? But I do want to say that this to me is just it's just kind of sad for me, honestly, to watch him sit on the bench for this terrible Knicks team.
Yeah.
In some ways, I'd rather he play in the D League because at least we can get some highlights of him doing Jimmer things.
Right, or let him play for a terrible team. He could play for this team.
Of course he could. They're terrible.
You know, I mean, he's as good as anybody they got on the. I don't know if I want to say
but
that.
But Rambis.
But is he in the top? Is he a starter for that team?
No, but he could play. I mean,
he should be.
As we said last week, I don't see why you don't give him some meaningful minutes and see if there's something there. Rambis obviously does not feel like it's worth that, and I don't think the fans chanting for him probably helps.
Yeah, it probably doesn't.
Which is lame, but I don't think Rambis is a good coach. So, unfortunately, another bad situation for Jimmer. On the good news side of things, Matt, Bronson Cafusi, not to be confused for his brother Corbin Cafusi, was at the NFL Combine and did Corbin Cafusi things, Matt. He was fourth among D linemen in the three-cone drill, and I think fourth as well on the 20-yard shuttle, showing a lot of good lateral movement. His 40-yard dash and all the rest of them were good but not great. I would say right now there is a I would say he didn't hurt himself, but he didn't wow like, say, Ziggy did on the pro day. So, you know, good for Bronson, but I don't think it moves his draft status much. Your take?
I think it helps him a little bit. But it wasn't an earth-shattering performance.
No.
You know, people are looking for some very specific things. You know, any time you go from the position he was in, get yourself into that top handful of guys in a couple of these drills, you may put yourself on somebody's radar whose radar you weren't on before.
Right. Sure.
That could create opportunity. You know, and get yourself drafted.
Yeah. I still think he's like a third round draft choice.
Yeah.
Right now. We'll see as we get closer. We'll try to have on a draft expert like we had last year to talk about his chances. Matt, for the pro day, which is coming up for some BYU players, Chris Murphy, that's at C Murphy Pro on Twitter, has a tweet bag question for us.
Here we go.
Where was tweet bag or however you say it?
I don't even know what to do. What was that all about?
Here we go.
What
was that? I don't know. So anyway, he asks, how cool would it be?
That's the worst. I'm not even doing it right.
I don't even know what you're doing today.
Who's the tweet bag now?
I think I'm talking to him.
Tweet bag.
So there we go. How cool would it be, he says, at the BYU Pro Day, if Ty Detmer threw to receivers like Devon Blackman and Mitch Matthews?
That would be cool in concept only.
Why? Why? You don't think Detmer still got it?
You think he can zip it?
Oh, you bet. I believe it. He can still zip it.
All right.
I don't know. I'd like to see him try.
No reason to get out there and hurt yourself.
Listen. Here's the thing. Devon Blackman's not getting into the NFL. It's nothing personal. But he didn't have the college career. The tape's not there. That type of thing. Matthews has a shot. We've talked about his chance before. We're not going to rehash that today. So yes, he probably, you do want probably a younger man throwing to him. But I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Men's volleyball sweeps.
No, the idea is cool. I think, you know, I haven't got there to throw a couple of passes or something. But
yeah. You hate Ty Detmer. It's okay. It's okay. That's all right. That's all right. You're the only BYU fan that feels this way about
Ty Detmer. Doesn't need to work out in front of any NFL scouts.
Yes, no, he does not. Men's volleyball this past weekend sweeps CSUN. We looked up what that was, didn't we?
Northridge. It's Cal State Northridge. Come on.
No, it isn't.
Try and keep up. California State University of Northridge.
Really? Is that what we looked up last time? I don't know. Anyway,
we looked up last time. I'm just telling you what the name of the school is.
Weekend. I did not watch them this weekend. They are off to play Hawaii this weekend, still ranked number two, still awesome. Matt, we're going to spend a little bit more time on women's basketball than we usually do. They did lose to Gonzaga as well. It was only their second loss, bracketed around the rest of the conference schedule. Matt, does the loss mean anything to you, or do you think that's kind of inevitable with they had already wrapped up the number one seed and all that kind of stuff?
It's tough when you wrap up the seed early like that. I mean, it is disappointing to lose one to drop a conference game.
And not to – Gonzaga's not good. I mean, they're not bad, but they're not
like the men's team.
No, it's not the same.
Right. So it's disappointing, but I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I don't know that it really hurts their seeding end of the day.
It will be interesting. The latest bracketology by Charlie Cream on ESPN. This was before that loss had them as a sixth seed. So I don't know if it'll affect their seeding much. I think them playing poorly in the tournament could affect their seeding. Surely they are the number one seed, Matt. So let's go. I didn't put the link in here for you. Do you think you can Google WCC bracket?
I already have it right here. Got it right in front of me.
Look at you, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
I actually prepped.
You prepped? Wow, that's good. I've heard about prepping. Let's see. Where's the bracket?
You need me to send you the link?
Maybe. Let's see. Bracket.
Don't we all love listening to Adam Google stuff?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Where is the bracket? You may want to send me. What's that?
It's on the internet.
The interwebs. The interwebs. Let's see. Interwebs. There it is.
There we go.
Women's bracket.
Oh man.
All right. So Matt, BYU gets a bye in the first round. The first game is on Thursday. This Thursday, we're recording Monday night, the 29th. Game one is noon. It's 8 seed Pacific, 9 seed Pepperdine. Who you got?
8 seed Pacific, 9 seed Pepperdine. I'm taking Pacific.
I'm taking Pepperdine.
Oh, love yeah.
All right. Santa Clara versus Gonzaga in that second game of the tournament. 4 seed versus 5th seed.
Taking Santa Clara because I can't take Gonzaga.
I'm taking Gonzaga.
Really?
Yeah.
You're taking the upset in both of those?
Yep. Upset. Right. It's an 8 seed and a 9 seed and a 4 seed and a 5 seed. I hesitate to call either of them upsets, but yes.
Whatever.
Number 7, Loyola Marymount. Number 10, Portland. I've got LMU.
I'm taking Portland, just to be contrarian.
You are contrarian. And then number 3, San Diego versus number 6, San Francisco. I'm taking the Dons.
I'm taking San Diego.
All right, so no contrarian there. Matt, that will lead BYU playing. You have them playing Pacific. I have them playing Pepperdine. Doesn't matter. Cougars advance, right?
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Cougars roll.
St. Mary's, I have them playing Loyola Marymount. You have them playing Portland.
Portland. Doesn't matter. St. Mary's rolls.
Wait a second. This bracket is weird.
Yeah.
So
the way this works out is very strange.
So the number 3 and 6 play each other. Oh, I get what you're doing.
It's like a weird plan.
But they don't. They should have, even though it's Thursday, they've got it set up by schedule on that bracket. That San Diego-San Francisco game is really a second-round game, right?
Yes.
It's not a play-in game.
That's
they
correct.
Just have it. That's why it looks weird on their bracket.
That's correct. They should line it up with the bracket underneath the St. Mary's game.
Yes, so we picked that game
and they should do the
already.
Same thing with Santa Clara Gonzaga.
Yes. We picked those games too early. Yep. All right. So, Matt, you've got in the semis. Oh, sorry. St. Mary's versus whoever gets through. We're saying St. Mary's, right?
Yeah, I'm taking St. Mary's.
All right, me too. All right. So the semis are BYU versus I have Gonzaga. You have Santa Clara. I'm picking BYU. Are you picking
against taking the Cougs.
All right, I'm taking the Cougs. I think that's the big game for BYU right there. I think
that might be the championship.
I don't know if it's the championship, but they got to get past that game. I think if they lose to St. Mary's in the finals, it hurts their seeding but doesn't kill their seeding. I think if they lose in the semis, it's a big drop if they lose to Gonzaga twice in a week. I think it's a big deal, but I think they win. St. Mary's versus, I've got San Francisco, you've got San Diego. It doesn't matter. I'm picking St. Mary's.
I'm taking the upset here. I'm taking San Diego to pull one out.
Ooh, all right. So your championship is San Diego versus BYU. Mine is BYU versus St. Mary's. I am picking BYU to win this entire tournament. I think they're the best team, and they've shown it throughout the year. Matt?
BYU wins it.
All right. Do you think they struggle with any of these games?
I don't.
You think they roll? You think after that loss to Gonzaga, Judkins has them rolling and they just come in and steamroll?
I think they come in laser focused and take care of business. Nice. I think this team realizes they got a chance to maybe do something special here, and they want to optimize their seeding going into the tournament. And if they come in and can roll through this tournament, I think at that point, absolutely, I'm not worried. Not worried about that loss affecting their seeding.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Santa Clara is on the bubble, so they're a team that could use it. Obviously, St. Mary's is probably in the tournament, but they certainly don't want a bad showing either. But we'll see, Matt. This should be a good tournament. Will you end up watching any of it?
I may watch some.
I mean,
it's going to depend on timing. I'd like to watch some of the BYU games. I'm not going to watch anybody else.
Yeah, I won't watch anything else, but I will try to watch some of these BYU games. So, Matt, let's move to men's basketball. Let's start with let's start with the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
This is from Todd on Twitter. That's at Todd and D. I liked it better when I did Todd and
Stuff is always funnier when you pronounce it incorrectly.
That's right. Basketball is depressing. He says, let's hear Arrow Flash reviews. # tweetback. Is basketball depressing?
It's not any less depressing than Arrow and Flash reviews.
Oh, stop.
What are we doing?
Those shows are phenomenal.
Are we serious?
I'm in the third season of the Arrow, the first season of the Flash, and they're really good. They're great programs. What's your problem?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Not all of us can sit around and I don't know even what you do with your free time.
I don't sit around with my free time.
Oh, I know. I go run half marathons. Yeah, whatever. So, some of us have to sit there and make you look good by not doing anything.
Not hard. Not hard to do.
No, it isn't. So, Matt, that loss to Gonzaga, I'm going to start you off with one big question. Did Emery take the wrong shots at the end of the game? Were those 2 3-pointers that he shot the wrong shots to take?
I don't know that they were the wrong shots. I wonder, is Emery the guy to take those shots?
Yes.
You don't. I feel like maybe you want Fisher to take that shot.
But Fisher wasn't open.
You got to get him open.
His first 3-pointer, Sabonis is trying to cover him on the switch, falls down, and he's wide open. You got to take that shot, right?
Yeah, I guess you do, but like, I don't know.
You got to take that shot. I don't have any problem with that first one. Okay. Sounds like you maybe have a little problem with it.
Yeah, fair? the first one, I can get there.
Okay. I mean, 3-point, he's a 38%, 37.6% 3-point shooter this year, and Fisher is just below him at 36.9. So their numbers are similar.
Yeah, but I think you want the guy with a little bit more experience taking the shot.
Yeah, see, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I would, you know, I'm comfortable with either of them taking that shot. I would have been fine. The second one, you have the drive. For Collinsworth, he feels the double and kicks it out. Did Collinsworth make the right decision, or do you think he had enough room to keep going to the hoop?
I would have taken it.
I thought he had enough room, but I was okay with the kick out, and I was okay with the shot. I don't think we lost because we took bad shots. I think we lost because we didn't hit the shots that were there.
Yeah, and obviously when you get in a game like this, you want to isolate the game down to a couple of these plays.
Yes. You know, but didn't have enough shots.
That's not what really decides it, right? It's the collective, you know, it's the whole body of work for the night is really what does you in.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's tough. It was a tough loss for sure. I mean, it was as a fan, it was terrible to watch. You know, and it was not a fun game to watch. But the field goal shooting at 40% was not good, and we gave up 53% to Gonzaga, and we had a chance at the end to beat them. You know, and we had a chance, and it just we didn't get it done. Had some good games from some of our key players, but Emory did not have a good game.
Nope.
And that kind of sunk us. And overall, shooting 3-pointers, 10 for 32, that's a lot of 3-pointers we took. And it just didn't
live by the three, die by the three.
But here you had Collinsworth almost get another triple double with 15 points, 15 boards, and 8 assists. Jeez. Wow. I mean, just wow. And Kyle Davis has disappeared, man. Just disappeared.
Just like, crazy, right?
He was a huge part of the offense early in the season, and he's just kind of there now. Often getting pulled for, you know, defensive replacement. I don't know. Weird. So, Matt, the other big story in the game was the hug at the end of the game. And by that, I mean the obvious foul on Collinsworth as they're trying to do the inbounds pass. Isn't that a foul no matter what time of the game it is?
Yeah, probably.
Is it an honor code violation?
It's a violation of some sort. You know,
a lot of fun tweets going on that one.
I think I think violate is definitely in there.
Yes. The BYU did not lose because of officiating. The officiating was not good, though. I heard people defending the officiating. Like, Mark Few, I think, was ready to strangle a couple of the officials, and Rose looked about close as well. I just thought it was unevenly, especially down the stretch, it was not clear if they were going to let it be a physical game or not. They kept seeming to be going back and forth, and that last play, you cannot let the guy wrap two arms around somebody.
No, you can't. And I was actually pulling that back up to watch it again so I could get angry about it all over.
Yeah.
But it's just, you can't. I mean, that's not even.
No.
I mean, I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
You know, I had somebody at work today ask me about it.
Really? So did I. That is really funny.
They were like, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes the WCC look bad. It really does. Because that's the story coming out of that game is, while, you know, there was terrible officiating at the end, which Gonzaga played well enough to win. So I don't have any huge problems. So, Matt, we have three seniors going out. We'll get to Collinsworth in a second. What is Nate Austin's legacy at BYU?
Fouls.
Oh, stop it.
Is it not?
Well, it's part of it, I guess. But, you know, he was more important than that. No?
No, he was. Actually, if I were to pick a single play, it's the block in the Gonzaga game earlier this year.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it's the elbow pads. It's the that guy's all over the floor. He's always after the ball. I mean, he's an effort guy. He's, you know, I was talking to my talking to my son about this the other day about basketball, and that's the kind of you need a guy like that on any successful team. You know, you look back, you can name guys that played that role, especially in the 90s on a lot of good NBA teams. Who filled in that role? I don't necessarily want to make a Rodman comparison here, but a guy who hustles after the ball. And that Rodman was after every loose ball. He was on the ground a lot, and I feel like Austin is kind of fits that description. That to me is his legacy. That's the way I would remember him.
So a couple years ago, he was. If you look at that 2013-14 team, you had a guy that was just really important to that team. As a glue guy coming, starting a lot of the time and basically sometimes helping out when Mika got in foul trouble, right? Obviously last year with the injury, this year he was not as big of a, didn't play as big of a role, but he was still later on in the season when the big man play got kind of uneven. it was a guy you could count on. You just know what he would deliver, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly, I think his best season might have actually been his freshman or sophomore year. Even when his freshman year, he didn't play as much, but he was great when he was on. Like you said, you need guys like them, like him. What about Chase Fisher? What's his legacy? 2 years at BYU. Interested how you view him?
That one's tougher for me. I'm not really sure. You know, I'm not even sure. I'm not really sure off the top of my head how I would describe a Chase Fisher legacy. I think I would have loved to have seen. It kind of goes back to the point I was making earlier. I think I would love to see Chase Fisher get into a spot where he was the go-to guy for those shots in the Gonzaga game last weekend, where you come up with a way to get him open.
Yeah.
You know, because when you've got, and he's not Jimmer or anything, right?
No, right.
But when you have that go-to guy, you figure out a way to get him open. I would have loved to have seen Chase Fisher become that for this team, and I don't know that he got there.
No, I don't think he got there. I do think, you know, obviously three-point shooting, streakiness, but similar to Austin, he's a max effort guy, right? You know, he always felt like maybe he wasn't the best defensive player, though I think he got better over time. But I think you look at that and you say, okay, maybe he wasn't the best defensive player, but he got better. His effort was better, and by the end, you know, he was depending on what metric you're looking at, the second best guy on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he's scored a lot of points. You know, decent number of steals.
Decent enough number of steals. I mean. Yeah, him and Emery were pretty close to each other as far as their value to the team goes, and Davis is somewhere in there too, though he, as we mentioned, faded quite a bit towards the end. So, Matt, Kyle Collinsworth, we talked about this before. One of the time, we may need to spend a whole podcast on this, but now that his career's almost done, are you ready to put him in top five all time at BYU?
I think it's got to be close. I mean, I think at some point we'll sit and really have this conversation. But you just sit here and kind of think about it.
Rebounds.
I think you have to, right? Look at what this guy did. Look what he did. Yeah. And he was a stat machine.
Yes, a stat machine.
And playing with his size and ability, playing the position that he did, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff about Kyle Collinsworth when you start having historical conversations around BYU basketball and comparing him to some of the other players that have come through the program. There's a lot here that makes you want to put him in that top five. Now, so if I'm putting a team of five guys together, or am I just going to name the top five best players?
See, I think that's an interesting,
may change the dynamic a little bit.
That's an interesting point, because I think that becomes one of those things where, you know, those are not the same questions, right? Because say you've got all big men as your best players all time, which isn't the case at BYU, but say that's the case, you're not going to put five centers on the court, right?
Right.
If you're building a team, is he the best point guard BYU's ever had? You know what I mean? Like, would you put him, is your backcourt him and Jimmer? And then you start Ainge at the three. You know what I mean? Those are interesting questions we'll get to later. I think in the end, though, he is one of the best players that we can all agree on that's ever played for BYU.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that 7.5 assists this year, I thought, remember at the beginning of the year, I thought his assists might go down because he might have to score more this year.
Mm-hmm.
He scored more, and his assists went up.
Yeah, he did. But you know what? The ability in this situation with this team and lineup to increase the number of assists he's dishing out, that tells you this is a guy that's making the people around him better, and he's creating opportunities for other players on the court.
Well,
and that's really the mark of greatness, right?
Yeah. And his offensive game this year, I thought, was as good, if not better, than any other season. And by that, I mean he had to take on more load. He didn't have somebody like Tyler Hawes. He didn't have somebody like Eric Miko from that 2013-14 team, a big man inside who you could just count on to pound away. The other part was I didn't think he'd get as many rebounds this year, and his average per game and Now, per 40 minutes, it's down from last year because he played more minutes this year than he did last year. But his average was 8.3. The year before was 8.7. So I was wrong. I thought the assists would stay the same and rebounds would go down. Both of them, rebounds stayed the same and assists went up. So what do I know?
Apparently nothing.
Close to nothing. So, Matt, let's walk through the men's tournament.
Here we go.
Are you ready to walk through the men's tournament? Do you think we can do that?
I think we can do that. You see me, I threw out here we go again. You but do. That time it was a little bit more appropriate.
Yeah, that actually made some sense, Matt. That made some sense. So we know these teams, we know these teams better than I think the women. So this should be maybe even more interesting. All right. The play-in game is Loyola Marymount and San Diego. That is on Friday. Number 8, Loyola Marymount. Number 9, San Diego. Do we care who wins?
Nope.
Moving on. Who do you think it'll be, though? San Diego!
I'm leaning San Diego there.
Place.
You know what? I don't know that it really matters.
It doesn't matter. St. Mary's just going to steamroll whoever wins. So the first round for BYU is Santa Clara. Santa Clara's not good. BYU wins easy, right?
Yep.
All right. Portland and Gonzaga, number 2 and number 7 seed. Gonzaga rolls, right?
Oh, yeah. Gonzaga rolls.
St. Mary's versus, we're saying, San Diego. Doesn't matter. St. Mary's wins.
Doesn't matter. St. Mary's has got it.
Now, this is the tougher one. Pepperdine and San Francisco, they've both been kind of up and down. They're both good enough to upset one of the top 3 seeds in the tournament, I think. I think either of those teams are good enough to do it. I don't think it's likely, but they're good enough. I'm going to go with Pepperdine. I think they're a little better, and I think they'll win.
I'm taking Pepperdine as well.
All right. So then it goes to the semis, Matt. BYU gets their third shot at Gonzaga. They split the regular season series. Who's going to win?
I got the Cougs.
Got the Cougs. A week from tonight, I am also picking BYU. St. Mary's, Matt, versus we're both going with Pepperdine. I am going to not be the homer pick and pick St. Mary's.
Yeah, I think you have to take St. Mary's here, but I think Pepperdine gives them a run.
I think Pepperdine gives them a run.
Pepperdine is a team that if you play this game 10 times, right?
Yes.
I think they win a few of these. I think Pepperdine could win this game. I just don't think that they will on that night.
No, Randy Bennett is a heck of a coach. If anything has proven to me, which I already had him high esteem, I mean, he has taken a team that I did not think would be very good this year, that would be a clear number 3 in the conference, and won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know the schedule wasn't as tough as some others, but in the end, he won the conference championship, and the schedule was, I mean, besides maybe some little weird things, we all played the same teams, and they won.
Yep.
So that final game, Matt, a week from tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 8th, will be on ESPN. Matt, who you got?
Oh, boy.
The Cougs!
Nah, maybe I shouldn't say. I'm picking St. Mary's to win the tournament.
So, Matt, that leads into a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
So the tweet bag question we have from Will Rankin 89 on Twitter is, as a fan, would you rather see BYU lose in the first game of the NCAA tourney or making the run in the NIT? We get this question every year, Matt. My answer is always the same, tournament.
NCAA.
Don't care
about the tournament.
Yes, don't care about the NIT.
Go to the NIT, big dance and lose a game. I'd rather do that.
Unless you win the NIT, I don't think it matters. I guess winning the NIT would be better than losing in the first round, maybe. But that's a lot. You've then got to win a tournament, right? Beat a bunch of teams. You know, I guess there's an appeal of the NIT. You might get a home game in the early rounds, right?
No, that's fun. We like that.
I have been there and watched an NIT game at the Marriott Center. It was fun. But no, I want them in the tournament. And the only way they're getting in the tournament is winning this conference. Okay, that's it.
That's true. But I think that with the St. Mary's win in the tournament, you might get 2 teams in.
Yeah.
But if Gonzaga loses to BYU...
Gosh, I don't know if you're getting 2 teams.
You may not.
I don't know if you are, Matt. This is both Gonzaga and St. Mary's have flawed resumes. Where if BYU gets through, they're not going to put three WCC
definitely
teams
not.
In.
Definitely not.
Two is the max. And I think, man, I don't want to be either of those teams and not win the tournament, honestly. I just think you are looking at you're putting a – I mean, St. Mary's doesn't have anything out of conference. There's nothing there for their resume, and they have punished teams in the last few years for having a lousy resume out of conference.
Yep.
So I don't know if I want to be St. Mary's if they lose this tournament. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, Matt. What do you think? Would you put St. Mary's in if they don't win?
No.
They've got them in as 11 seed right now, and they've got Gonzaga. Lenardi has Gonzaga as the first four out. So, according to him, if Gonzaga doesn't win the tournament, they could be watching. I think both of them have that risk. I think both of them have that risk.
Yeah, I think both of them do have that risk. You're probably just a one. This is probably just a one horse show here, right?
Yes, I think it is a one horse show.
What did I just say?
I think if BYU wins, there's an outside chance that St. Mary's gets in. But I would not want to be the Gales on Selection Sunday if they don't win the tournament. It's going to be
a long afternoon.
It'll be a long afternoon. Matt, what three things have to happen for BYU to win this WCC tournament?
Well, I think one of them is they got to play somebody other than St. Mary's in the final. If you look back at the schedule, right, and you look at these losses, you go close game against Gonzaga on the road, barely squeak out the win. They come back 2 days later, drop a game to Portland, right? St. Mary's in Provo, big win, 70-59. They come back 2 days later, drop the game against Pacific. Right. And then you got the rematch against Portland in Provo. We're going to make sure, you know, these guys aren't going to beat us in our home court. Big win, 99 points you put up on those guys. And then you come back 2 days later and you lose to Gonzaga. I think that having to play two games like that in a row, for this team so far has not shown the ability to put that together. So right. I think that if they're required to do that to win this tournament, I think they're really going to struggle. So that's one.
Yes.
The other one is you need – Emery's got to get hot and stay hot if we're going to use him the way that we're using him.
Yep.
Those for me are really the top two things that you need to see happen for if BYU is going to come home with some hardware.
I agree with everything you said. I also think that I would love to see Kyle Davis somehow reemerge as an offensive threat. That, I think, could help beyond what you said. But I really think it comes down to whether Fisher and Emery can hit three-point shots. I think you'll get good play from Collinsworth. You'll get good defense in the middle by all three of the big men. I think you will struggle. Can you hit three, like you pointed out about the up and down this year, can they have three good games in a row where they're hitting threes and it's going to two of those games if things go the way they're again are against top 50 teams?
Mm.
I don't know.
That's tough. I mean, but you look at some of the stuff the players were saying post game last weekend. I mean, they seem very determined, very resolved, but there's a difference between getting in the right mental mindset and then actually making it happen out on the court.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say mental mindset doesn't matter, but in the end, it's what happens not in your head, but between the lines.
Oh, yeah, but I think mental mindset is, I mean, obviously it's very important, but you're not going to win with that alone.
Yes, you're not going to win with that alone. You can have the best mental mindset, and if you miss the shots, you miss the shots, right?
Right.
And sometimes that's not a mental thing. Sometimes it's just a night. You're just off. Matt, we have
or you just don't get the shots you want.
Yes, or you just don't get the shots you want. Yes, those things can happen. Matt, we have one last tweet bag question that we'll end on today.
Tweet bag.
That's at Jacobson_Tim on Twitter. In a scenario that BYU forms its own conference, we talked about that last week, give us your best realistic member list. Matt, who we got in our theoretical? So I'm going to start with the easy ones, okay?
Okay.
And we need, besides BYU, shall we do a 10-team conference or 12?
So just real quick before we go here, this is I can pick whoever I want?
Out of the non-P5 teams.
Okay, making, so non-P5 teams.
We're making, say BYU gets locked out of all this, they decide independence is going to work, we're going to form our own conference, and we can cherry pick at that point any non-P5 team. And okay. I'm going to also rule out Cincinnati and UCF because they go to the Big 12.
Oh, man.
It's all arbitrary. Anyway, so Matt, I'm going to stick with the easy ones first. Boise State.
Okay. Yep.
Utah State.
Yep.
San Diego State. Pains me.
Mm.
But I think you got to do it.
Whatever. I wouldn't take San Diego State.
Well, that's what we're doing. And Air Force, number four. From the
I like
Mountain
that.
West. So those are your four from the Mountain West that I think are a given. Okay? Then
okay.
We go to the American Conference, and I eliminated Cincy and UCF. That's kind of arbitrary. But
I think here you got to take Houston.
Houston? Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Navy. Go get Navy.
Okay, Navy. So you got seven already, and we need – are we going to do a 10-team or a 12-team?
We got to go 12, right? So we need a conference championship. Like,
yeah, we need 11. Anybody else off that's an automatic out of the American Athletic Conference?
No, because you took the other guys off the table.
Yeah. All right. So is there anybody you're taking out of the MAC?
Let's see here. Out of the MAC.
Do you want any of those teams?
No, nobody here's screaming out.
Okay, nobody's screaming out. What about Conference USA?
Yikes.
Yeah, I know. It starts looking ugly. Do you take – is Marshall a given? They've historically been okay.
Yeah, Marshall's done some things. Maybe you grab Marshall.
Okay, so now you got eight. You need three more teams, okay? You need three more teams. Is Army one of them to get to nine? All three service academies.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not as excited about Army.
I'm not either.
But when when you look at the rest of this list, I mean, where are you going now? You're going to the Sun Belt?
Well, I don't think there's any team in the Sun Belt I'm interested in.
No, there's nobody there.
Okay, so we need three more teams, and I'm going to throw out some names. You tell me what you think about these teams. Okay.
Yep.
UConn. We're starting with the American Conference.
They'd be good for hoops.
Yeah, they'd be good for hoops. Let's put them on the short list of maybe. Okay. What about SMU?
SMU is an interesting choice. One-time powerhouse.
One-time powerhouse. Decent basketball program right now.
And I think it's good for the conference to have a team in Texas.
Yes.
You've already got Houston, but...
Another team there, maybe. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep them as a maybe. From the Conference USA, what about upstart... Western Kentucky.
No, I think out of Conference USA, before I get to Western Kentucky, I think you got to look at like a Florida Atlantic.
No.
Seriously? Yeah. Oh, no. Sure.
No, I'd rather take Western Kentucky.
What about Southern Miss?
Southern Miss was going to be my next team. I think they're in, so that's our ninth team.
I think Southern Miss gets on the list.
What about Texas San Antonio? Up-and-coming program, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay, so you're not convinced, so that's nine.
I'm not convinced on them. I look at Texas San Antonio. I look at UTEP.
What about somebody like Central Michigan or Northern Illinois out of the MAC?
I think a Central Michigan is interesting. Even an Eastern Michigan might be interesting. Do you have Northern Illinois? I feel like Northern Illinois, they were good like 10 years ago.
They're still
longer.
Okay. They're still okay. I'm not super excited about any of those teams. So let's go to
Toledo. Maybe a Toledo. Toledo's been good recently.
Toledo's been good recently. Not the Ohio State. You could get the other Ohio University. Not interested.
What about Colorado State? They were on our first list.
They were not. So is Colorado
State
your
10th team?
Yeah,
right? I might take Colorado State.
So Colorado State's your 10th team. Anybody else from the Mountain West that you would want to pull in? Not Hawaii.
No, you can't do Hawaii.
I'm not interested in UNLV.
Nope.
Though it'd be good for basketball. Wyoming? Just kidding. Wyoming. That's ridiculous. What about New Mexico? Is that your 11th team? Okay. So do we go back up to one of those American conference teams and do a Tulsa or an SMU or a UConn?
Yeah, I think that's probably what you do there.
So, I don't know. We'll talk about this again, Matt. We'll table this for now because we're at an hour of recording time, so we need to probably wrap this up. But maybe we should do next time a draft.
Oh, yeah. We could do
prepare and do a draft. Maybe not next episode, not our next episode, because we'll be in the middle of March Madness stuff. But maybe if we do that,
do you think you have any chance? There's no reason you could poach like a lower tier P5 team.
No, the money that no.
There's no reason for them to go anywhere.
Zero.
Right?
Zero reason. Yes. Right
now, but what if you ran a scenario? What if you ran a scenario where
the Big 12 blows up?
Big 12. It disintegrates.
Well, then that changes things, right? Because then you're say Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, and say those three teams disappear, all right? And then you've got TCU, Baylor, West Virginia. No, West Virginia lands somewhere, right?
So yep, I think West Virginia finds a home.
So let's say Texas, West Virginia, finds a home. Texas, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State disappear. You've got TCU. And
Baylor might find a home.
No, Baylor. Are you serious right now? What conference is going to touch them that they're not a part of?
Okay. All right.
No one's touching them. Their time, if they blew up in the next 24 months, it would be very bad for Baylor. No one's going to touch them, right? I mean, scandal after scandal. It's not good. It's not good for Baylor. Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Iowa State, and Kansas are sitting there.
And TCU.
I think you start with Iowa State, Kansas State, and TCU. Maybe Texas Tech. I mean, it changes. It would totally change the draft, right?
It would totally change the draft.
Some of these teams we talked about would not even be considered if that's the scenario you're building from the leftover Big 12.
Oh, yeah. The last four or five teams we just talked about aren't even on the table.
No. You don't even discuss them.
UConn's, Tulsa.
Not interested.
Don't need anything.
SMU. No. You're not even talking about them. Matt, that'll be something. We will table that. Tim, we will talk about that on another podcast. We'll do a big segment on that. Because it's fun.
Yeah, that's a good
one. And unfortunately, it might end up being what happens in the future. It's kind of depressing to think about, but if you could just ditch the Mountain West and formed another conference and everything's better and you can keep your secondary TV rights and all that, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Well, buckle up, Buttercup, because that's where we're going.
I don't know. I'm still holding up for the Big 12.
We're about to go into business with the serious non P5 schools, and we will make that second tier conference that will be the team that sends its champion kind of in with the big boys during bowl season. That's where this is headed.
Yeah, we'll see.
You're gonna have the P5, and then you're gonna have whatever this new conference is.
The P6?
Nope.
P5 Junior?
Because I know, and that's if the Big 12 survives.
If the Big 12 survives, which I don't know which way it will go. It really depends on if the Pac-12 decides to go to 14 teams. Right? If they decide to go to 14 teams, we know who they're going to try to take. They're not going to come get BYU and Boise. Right?
Oh, no.
They're going to go after Texas and somebody else.
Yep.
Heck, I don't know who it is. If Oklahoma won't go without Oklahoma State, then all of a sudden does Oklahoma turn to the SEC or the Big 12 and say, come take us? You know what I mean? Or does Oklahoma stay and keep the Big 12 alive? Because they could by themselves. It stays a viable conference.
Yeah, but in that scenario, I think if Texas bolts and Oklahoma decides to stay and the Big 12 conference continues to exist because Oklahoma's the glue holding them together.
Yes.
I think in that scenario, BYU ends up in the Big 12.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And all these scenarios, quite frankly, are crazy talk. And people say, that's just insane. Let me ask you if 7 years ago you thought Colorado and Utah would be in the Pac-12.
Yeah. So what I'm telling you right now, whatever happens is going to be insane.
It is going to be weird and not exactly what you would think would be the rational decisions.
And it's going to bother us. And it's going to bother us for a long time, like having Rutgers and Maryland in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah. Those, like, if you had told me that the Big Ten would ever take Rutgers, I would have thought Maryland, I could see kind of. But Rutgers, I would have said, no, they're not going to take
Rutgers. The Rutgers thing makes me throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, it's not good. I saw have you seen the Big 12, the Big 10 commercial that they have going during their games, basketball games, where it flips between fans?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? Do you know what ticks me off about that? Maryland is on it twice, Rutgers is on it twice, and Purdue's on it once. Did I miss something? Is Rutgers suddenly a basketball powerhouse?
It's like they just want to remind everybody, hey, remember, we've got Rutgers.
Remember, Rutgers is part
of
this.
Don't forget when you're listing Big Ten schools, Rutgers is in the mix.
Rutgers is in the mix.
But yeah. Do you consider Rutgers a Big Ten school? I just don't.
Yeah, but over time, all that stuff wipes away and they become a Big Ten school, right?
Maybe, unless this next round shuffles people around again.
Yeah, but so far, no one's ever kicked anybody out. So, but again, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what's about to happen?
This could be the, I'm sorry, Rutgers. You know? We made a mistake.
But let's be honest. If somebody gets kicked out, it's going to be Vanderbilt and the SEC. Right? If we start kicking teams out of conferences, like Vanderbilt, you got to go.
Yeah. I think Vanderbilt is, if suddenly they started saying, we're going to relegate some of these teams, I think Vanderbilt starts
getting Vandy's been riding that gravy train for way too long.
Yeah, they have. Well, thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening. This has been fun. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. On Facebook, Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Thank you for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.